Welcome back to the Dissecting Musical Theater Podcast, a podcast where it's about everything musical theater, not only that, but anything else I want to, because I can. In today's episode, I am talking about High School Musical, the musical, the series. I talked about some episodes of season 3, but since this is the last season, there's 8 episodes, and I want to talk about all of them, so let's get into it. So let's do a recap of what happened for season 4. So to recap, the group left off after their debut of the summer camp documentary, The Making of Frozen, became a hit for all the wrong reasons. Let's just say that documentary was a mess. So Big Red had decided to take a semester abroad after Kamaz Bai to get away from the mess, and Seb still believes that Carla's cheating on him. And Courtney is living for the fame. And also last season, Gina and Ricky finally kissed. Yes, they did. And she also broke up with EJ. And we also see EJ in this season too. EJ has facial hair. And I don't know how to think. I don't know how to feel. So when there was Tim released some photos about this season on Twitter. And one of them was EJ in his dorm room with facial hair. And I saw this season and I still don't know what to think about it. With that, we join Ricky pulling a Cassandra Explains It All and sneaking through Gina's window. The two are cute and it hurts. While madly in love, Gina proposes the idea of keeping their relationship a secret after the Frozen documentary ruined their lives. Miss Jen quickly gets everyone together to announce that this year's musical will be High School Musical 3. While spinning around in the hallway, the excitement is palpable as Miss Jen and Ricky obviously want Troy and Gabriella. Miss Jen clarifies that she hasn't already cast the show in her head as she done with High School Musical and Beauty and the Beast, but I can spot a lie from miles away. And of course, Gina and Ricky is going to get Troy and Gabriella. Troyella and Rena, it is meant to be. But before they have a chance to consider the show, it's announced in the tackiest of paparazzis that High School Musical 4 has been announced and will be filmed on campus. And we meet Danny and Mac, a semi-famous internet couple. Will star to much the excitement of everyone else except Miss Jen and Ricky. Will this ruin their show? Will this ruin his relationship with Gina? It better not. Mac and Danny are, how do you say, beyond insufferable. They know they're famous, and they deem themselves better than everybody. Regardless, the school is stoked. Miss Jen calls in Mercy meeting. And my question is, does anybody take regular classes? Like, we've seen in season 2, them in one class. But I feel like the rest of the season, they're in drama, which has me concerned for their futures. But that's still to be decided. So, and that Corbin Blue enters with Lucas Gabriel and Monique. Corbin apologizes for the documentary and asks the class to be featured in extras in the new film as an apology. Ricky remains hesitant, and rightfully so, after Gina is chosen to be a guy for Mac, while Courtney gets to hang out with Danny. The famous duo immediately endeming and take advantage of the two girls. And while Gina won't put up with it, Courtney sees the opportunity of famous future in deal. Danny wants to know everything about Ricky Bowen, while Mac immediately follows Gina on Insta after a awkward meeting. If these two break up Gina and Ricky, so help me. And that's episode 1. Also in there, we meet Gina's mom, and Miss Jen and Mike are still dating. And the thing about Miss Jen and Mike, so they decided to get together after Truth, Justice, and Songs on the Key in season 1. And I don't like it, because they have nothing in common. So it was also during season 1 that Miss Jen and Mike Mazzara, who was a teacher at East High, They also should be a couple. So there was a split in the fandom. Should Miss Jan be with Mike Mazzara, or should she be with Mike Bowen? Yeah. And if you watch season 3, you know that Miss Jen and Mike went on a cruise. And Miss Jen was not excited because they have nothing in common. Why did they get together? I want to ask Tim Federle that question too. Tim, do you have any answers? Because I want to know. Now on to episode 2, which is titled HSM3 versus HSM4. The Wildcats continued with HSM3 auditions and High School Musical 4 rehearsals. Let the battle of HSM productions begin, with Miss Jen production High School Musical 3 and HSM4 filming takes place at the same time. It seems that a bloodbath is about to go down in the halls of East High. Mind you, the fight is between theater kids, so it's most likely just stage blood. The group has a tight schedule with featured background rehearsals in the auditorium before they have to run to Miss Jen for HSM3 auditions. The crop of auditioners already seem limited as the students are dropping their theater department and their extracurricular lineups faster than Eva Slater dumped his wife for Ariana Grande. Look, it had to been said. Am I sorry? No. Crystal, the choreographer, is stunned at the group's ability to pick up choreo, but the director, Quinn, still deems the auditorium off-limits to Miss Jen. The studio has paid a large sum of money to rent it out, so she can access it during production. Who knew this season's biggest villain would be the AMPTP? Okay. Again, hadn't been said, especially after the strike. I'm not sorry. Since the auditorium was scheduled to have film rehearsals for the next 2 hours, they utilized their time to work with Mac on his big dance number, but he shockingly arrives to set early. Sure. So Gina fills in for Danny during the number. Yeah, as Gina fills the time, the other Wildcats begin auditioning for Miss Jen. In Warfield style, they take turns running the rehearsal room to sing the best 16 bars of Now or Never, leaving me emotional dead at the idea of HSM being 15 years old in October. I'm not okay with that. After rehearsal, Mac lets Gina know that he treats her sticking it to him, as most fans growl at his feet. How we love toxic masculinity on this podcast, which is a joke because I cannot stand a Mac at all. And after that rehearsal, Mac and Danny has their own rehearsal to work on a scene, and it comes out that Danny is a horrible actor. And director Quinn is not okay with this, since she is a Sundance runner-up. She cannot stand bad acting. If you've seen any Sundance movies, you know that. Anyways, Ricky and Gina go on a date out of a bachelor style date by bringing her to a puppy rescue. He apologizes for making fun of her love for Mac as a child and gives her the gift of playing the Mark and Spark theme song on the guitar. So Mark and Spark, it was Gina's childhood, her childhood favorite TV show. And it's basically about Mark and his dog Spark. So Mark teaches Spark these important valuable lessons, and one of them was basically how to eat spaghetti. Don't ask questions because I cannot answer them because I don't even know myself. The song is called Puppy Love, and I need it in a dog commercial now because it's the perfect amount of cute Bao being knowingly cringe, and I love it. And my god, I love Genie and Rika. Hello, Ricky and Gina. And I love Rena. As I'm going to keep saying every 3 minutes. So the cast list reveals happen on a whim at Gina's house, and the roles go to who you expect. Emmy takes on Kelly Marchese. So Emmy was in season 4, now she goes to East High. her character this season is giving spy and I'm living. Carlos got the role of Ryan. Courtney got the role of Sharpay, as she should, because she is in her Sharpay Evans era. And as I expected, Gina and Ricky got the role of Troy and Gabriella, or as I say, their ship name, Troyella. And again, as they should. As the cast is revealed and the excitement begins to grow within the group, Gina gets a literal call from Hollywood. After Quinn has discussed with Ms. Jen, she decides to offer Gina a role in High School Musical 4, replacing Danny. The way I screamed, the way I yelled, God, I live for theater kid drama. That was episode 2, so now on to episode 3. Episode 3 is titled A Star is Born. High School Musical 4 pulls focus from High School Musical 3 as one of the Wildcats has a Star is Born moment. Gina is a big old movie star. I mean, she's not famous yet, but she has her own trailer. And isn't that half the battle? While the secretive relationship is in full effect, Ricky can't wait to be over the moon with over the moon with the PDA for his newly minted professional actress girlfriend. I mean, who wouldn't want to show her off in a highly respective, supportive, non-deeming way? At this point, I think we can argue Gina is multi-hyphened. She is juggling filming High School Musical 4 while still trying to take part in High School Musical 3, first table read. Luckily, with 2 hours delay, Gina runs it back to rehearsal in full glam. Nonetheless, she has full glam. She has hair, makeup, costume. She is it to group. And we get this song, Can I Have This Dance? Which Gina and Ricky goes all the way with choreo, vocals, and everything. So I want you to look up Can I Have This Dance? High School Musical 3 version and Can I Have This Dance? HSMT and Mez version. Tell me which one you like. Because I like Troy and Gabriella's version. Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens' version. But when I first seen a clip of Gina and Ricky, Sophia White and Joshua Bassett's version, I was like, yes, that's my favorite and will always be my favorite. I want to dance to that one at my wedding. Will I be a Rena stan in the later years? Yes, because I'm never going to stop. Because I will watch High School Musical and the musical series whenever I am feeling down or whenever I need a good... I need a cry because they're holding up pauses. The tension, fierce but appropriate for all ages. They're singing a cappella. They're doing the exact same choreo from the movie. Call me Elsa because I just got chills. Hello, who is it? It is Rena, the best couple in High School Musical, the series. Period. After I calmed down and the fellow Wildcats gave the correct amount of applause, as they should, Ricky reveals a big surprise. Thanks to a phone call and Ms. Jen's approval, Jed has flown to be a new student at East High and take on the role of Chad. How silly, goofy, and fun. Maddox has joined the HSM4 crew as a student PA. How silly, goofy, and fun. Ashlyn has immediate romance tension with Maddox. How steamy, glorious, and fun. And can we talk about Jed for a minute? So Jet and Maddox are brother and sister, and they was in season 3. So around season 3, Ashlyn came out as a lesbian, and there was some tension between Maddox and Ashlyn at the end of season 3. And then we have Jet, who had a little crush on Courtney. Okay, I have some questions because his crush just came out of nowhere, and now all of a sudden we have to act like that Jenny is not going to be a thing, or at least I want it to be a thing, but it came out of nowhere, and I'm confused. Right after an immediate call to set, Ms. Jen solidifies her work as the best modern TV teacher in recent memory by helping Gina with scene work. She breaks down the scene in order to make it digestible and relatable. Gina heads to set confident. And what do you know? She delivers a stellar performance. Even having weird tears and ad-libbing makes an appearance. Period, as she should. Ricky is so impressed, he audibly reacts, giving him simultaneously kicked off the set and awarded Best Boyfriend of the Year. As he should. Period. Without as much as a warning, Seb is revealed to be working at craft services with his family's catering cart. Seb and Carlos are back on screen. As they should, Mike Gayheart is overwhelmed as my TV favorite TV couple is back on screen. Period. Yet, tensions are still high. Seb does not want to talk to Carlos, while Carlos is pounding back coffee just to have FaceTime with his boyfriend. Is Seb going through a hard time this season? Of course they are. Will something happen? I can't tell you yet, but if you know, you know. Mac is stunned at Gina's ability, especially since he was talking mad crap about her to Allison Reed prior to this scene. He asked her to help coming across as a living high school student. Gina agrees to assist, only if he helped her cope with adding being famous to her resume. Fortunately, yes, this leads to Mac asking them to start fake dating. What can go wrong? Honestly, a lot can go wrong. And a lot did go wrong. Meanwhile, Ricky wants to show that he's grown as a person and putting his trust in others. He's not wrong either. Remember season one, Ricky? The boy was a bucket of stress and insecurities. Oh. Yeah, he was, honestly. He decorates Gina's trailer to celebrate her incredible first day of set to show how dedicated he is to supporting her through the process. And at the beginning of this episode, I didn't say this, but at the beginning of the episode, they went to set at 5 o'clock in the morning. And Ricky wasn't allowed to be there, so he went with her at 5 o'clock in the morning. First of all, if that doesn't scream healthy relationship, I don't know what does. She also assures him that she's committed to continuing with HSM3. Miss Jen, on the other hand, is worried about Gina's juggling. She rings up with Danny to offer her support, and if she'd like to join the cast to work on her acting abilities. Of all the people, why would Miss Jen go down such a path? Honestly, Danny, I'm gonna be honest with you. Danny gives me headaches, but she's not worse than Mac. And that's saying so much. On to episode 4, Trick or Treat. Synopsis: at Gina's Halloween party, relationships are put to the test and secrets are revealed. So scary, spooky, at East High as Halloween arrives. Now, there aren't your normal jump scares in horror movie scenes. Instead, there are emotionally traumatic moments of dread. Ricky wants to be in charge of telling Gina that she has been replaced with Danny in HSM3. Gina wants to be in charge of telling Ricky that Mac wants to start having a fake relationship publicity. I want to be in charge of telling both of them that these are two awful ideas and will end badly, but what do I know? I only watched this show for 4 years. Gina hosts a Halloween party in her chic attic space, and the whole gang arrives amidst the hustle and bustle of Halloween night. The two have many a false start to reveal their big news. As a rule, both of them are in rough positions, but and add in the bummer having to tell each other bad news on the holiday, and you've got yourself a bucket of disappointment. Yeah. That sucks. It's the shortest episode of the season so far, mostly because it's filled with quick asides centered around the duo's news delivery issues. Eventually Mac and Danny does show up. Both are vapid, insufferable, and trying too hard to resemble that of a normal human being. Shockingly, it does not work. While they try to take over the conversation, they both slip out the big news. Gina and Ricky are both understandably shocked. That just shows how much I hate Danny and Mac. However, something sweet does come out of this reveal. Ricky and Gina publicly announce they're dating. The rest of the Wildcats are revealed, and it seems like they're able to wait through the mess. Yet, when Gina's mom pops in, Gina calls Ricky a friend, and he is heartbroken, as he should. And she calls their relationship fake. And yeah, poor Ricky could not handle like both situations being thrown at him. So he, while skateboarding home, he calls Gina and asks for a moment to breathe. And to me, I didn't want to think that was a breakup. I don't want to say it was a breakup, but it was definitely a breakup. Ricky arrives home to Miss Jen, quietly leaving as she is broken up with Ricky's dad. They are both on different paths, and along with Ricky's dad, not even a good listener. So, yeah, both of them, Bowen men, had horrible, horrible nights. Poor thing. Ricky quickly stops and asks Miss Jen for a letter of recommendation and thanks her for seeing him. The way when watching this, I was about to cry because I wasn't ready. And I also was like, yeah, I knew this was going to happen because, again, they're not right for each other. And I believe that Miss Jan belongs with Mr. Mazara. But they do get together, period. And that was episode 4, but I forgot some things. So here's a little, like, some mentions. Maddox and Ashlyn are so close to a big kiss after a beautiful duet. Big Red and Ashlyn broke up, so Maddox and Ashlyn can be together. Seb finally has a conversation with Carlos because Seb cheated on Carlos. And guess who it was with? Big Red. When that was announced that Carlos cheated on Carlos with Big Red, I was like, I was gagged. And then also there was a zombie number to open the episode, which was given Michael Jackson, Thriller. And I was here for it. So for episode 5, admissions, East High principal states up that if less than 8 students are at the upcoming rehearsal of the production of High School Musical 3, it's canceled. Curse you, public school budget cuts. But this isn't a big deal, right? I mean, our beloved group of Wildcats are responsible enough to show up for the magic of theater. Miss Jen, right? Right. Ricky has a half excuse as his only absence early in the day is due to his favor Miss Jen called in the end of the episode, of last episode. Ricky arrives at EJ's dorm with enough baggage to start a GSN reboot. He's overwhelmed by the Gina of it all and unfortunately has fallen back into his ways of running away. EJ reveals the complete life change he had since graduating from East High. His dad has left him high and dry, but he feels rejuvenated from his new life experiences. Also, EJ has facial hair, which I don't know how to take in that information. Quintessential HSM TMS style, EJ and Ricky both sing a song together, even though only one of them knows it, IRL, and I get instantly emotional. This season is full of some of amazing bangers, and I'm here for it. Ricky didn't just come to vibe, however, he came for advice. His experiences of how he's tired of losing people. Everyone comes into his life is okay for 10 seconds, then something falls apart. EJ delivers some hard truths about Ricky's tendency to run away, affecting himself most of all. You can't try and make relationships better if you don't put in the work. Ooh. He hugs EJ and races to try to fix the most important relationship in his life. Thus, Ricky is not at rehearsals. Meanwhile, Gina is trying to keep a healthy relationship with Mac during filming. She is keeping him at arm's length, as you should, not allowing this fake relationship to take hold. Luckily, Mac seems to comply, as he should, because, you know. Gina is more worried about Danny taking over as Gabriella, so she convinces Quinn to push through and film 21 pages of the script in one day. It's a daunting task, but Gina and Mac are up to it. Since Gina is Soup's profesh, the filming goes off without a hitch. Before Gina can make it to rehearsals, Gina's mother surprises her at school, congratulating her on the day's work. In between the compliments, she invites Mac over for dinner as the sense of sparks between the two. Jesus. I did not like Gina's mother this season. And he was like, oh, but she like came to the conclusion that maybe Gina and Ricky does work. I don't care. She was too much on Team Mac and I can't get over that. Gina decides to join for dinner, where her mom confronts her about the possible relationship. She discussed that her mom even suggests the idea, but is also fed up that she clearly doesn't know a lot about anything that's going on in Gina's life, but I digress. She decides to come clean into her mom that she has been dating Ricky, as she should. And at that very moment, Ricky arrives to try to fix the relationship, but sees Mac in the window and backs away. Luckily, Gina sees this and she runs after him and announces that she told her mom about them and they kissed in the rain. When I tell you, I cried. I couldn't scream by this time because it was possibly like 4 o'clock in the morning. Let's not talk about how I stayed up all night to watch this season and like season 1, 2, and 3, and then this season. Let's not talk about that, because I did, and I didn't get no sleep until 8 o'clock in the morning. But I digress. Regardless, Gina is not at rehearsals. With some big reveals, we also get the return of Big Red, Biggie, Miss Chew, the reveal that he cheated on Ashlyn with Seb. Now, this is the episode that came out. Sebastian cheated on Carlos with Seb, as I said last episode, when, you know, it was possibly a somebody, but it's revealed now that it's Seb, that it's Big Red, period. The duel coming out of Ashlyn and Big Red, their wholesome breakup, Ashlyn's calling Maddox to find out that she's back with Madison, Carlos finding out that Big Red kissed Seb, it's a bad time in musical land. All this to say, Carlos and Ashlyn are not at rehearsals. When the principal comes in to check on the state of affairs, he doesn't mince his words. The emptiness of the rehearsal room leads to the call of the HSM3 canceled. Miss Jen's disappointment will be tattooed on my heart for the years to come. And also, this is the first, well, the second time that we also seen Ricky cry. And I'm not okay with that. The first time that Ricky cried was during season 2. And then it was Ricky, and when Ricky and Nene broke up, and he went to Big Red's house and he cried. And all this was during when Roman Banks was in the season, and he sung in the background, "If I Can't Love Her," which made that scene even more sad. And did I cry? Yes. Every time do I watch that scene, do I cry? Yes. Also, Dara sung a song, it's called Jump, and if you want to listen to it, it's on Spotify, it's on YouTube, and I wish they would have released the official music video, which was the scene from the show, but they didn't, and I'm kind of upset, and I blame Tim Federle because he knows better. Okay, next episode, episode 6, Trust the Process. The Wildcats revisit the past in order to secure the future of the program. With HSM4 officially wrapped, it seems like both bright spots at East High have been officially turned dark. Thanks to the call from the principal, HSM3 and the drama club hereby cease to exist, as the group gets together in rehearsal room one last time in hopes to fight the good fight. The blame game doesn't work. They scumble to the fact that the drama club no longer exists. In the words of Ms. Jen, you have to know when to enter and when to exit. As the sadness overtakes the group, the remorsing begins. We bear to witness many flashbacks showing how the group of nobodies turned into really big somebodies. Okay, our first flashback, Ashlyn and Courtney both met in a solidary way, having lunch in an empty classroom. While Court was working on her designs of HSM High School Musical costumes, Ashlyn was looking for camaraderie. The two connect over their fears about stepping out their comfort zone, but agree to take a jump together. Ashlyn decides to audition if Courtney decides to join the crew, and the rest is history. Now, Mr. Mazzara's first impression of Ms. Jen was not so happy go lucky, unfairly judging her from becoming a star of the school and not helping the kids. He apologizes for his ways, knowing she has changed the lives of so many in a year at East High. And Carlos and Ms. Jen, this was my favorite. Carlos and Ms. Jen seemed to be thick as thieves in this year's pilot, but lo and behold, they only met soon before our big announcement of the big musical in season 1. Entering the school on her big day, she saw Carlos getting physically bullied in PE. At their first meeting, she sensed a spark and assures that she will keep him safe going forward. Now, can you imagine hearing that from a teacher in the midst of bullying? Oh, that would heal my heart. At the advice of Miss Jen, Seb crashes the meeting, profoundly apologizing and making it known that they are meant to be together. Carlos is still putting up a wall after feeling so rejected and hurt. However, Sib's voice is so powerful, it can stop warfare. And it could. And of course, they sung together. And of course, the song is killer. And, you know, as it should be. And it's called Over Again. And it's a musical theater type song. And of course, it would be because Joe, who plays Sib, he went to the University of Michigan. And he is a theater kid himself in real life and in the show. And I'm living for it. Sib Lobes is back and everything is great in the world again. This last flashback, it's very much, it's giving chills. So Gina and Ricky knew each other on the first day of school. So when Gina entered East High, she did not know anybody until she met Ricky. He stops her because he wanted a judgmental person to help him with the plan to win back Nene. Since Gina is honest in every way, she suggests that Ricky auditions with Nene's song for the musical. One, that's not a bad idea. And two, I had secondhand embarrassment from that. But, you know, he did it. But he decides to audition for Nene while Gina decides to audition because Ricky's auditioning. And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean Gina decides to audition because Ricky auditioned? What do you mean Gina liked Ricky before we knew? What do you mean? Mr. Tim, I have so many questions. Miss Jen gives the group gratitude journals as a gift, leading Ricky to the most gut-punching line. What are we supposed to do with this? And Miss Jen said, well, you write what you're thankful for. And Ricky says, this is what I am thankful for. And I cried. My heart broke. Because what do you mean the drama program is leaving? What do you mean there's no HSM 3? Don't play with my heart. That's crazy. The entire cast is devastated with the ending of the program. But luckily, two original members of HSM, Allison and Bart, catch wind and decide to donate a portion of their salaries from the movie to the production of HSM 3. Right as everything seems to be falling into place, the Gina and Ricky of it all sitting on the cliff. Just as Gina decides to go tell Ricky that she loves him, Ricky is called to the counselor's office. Mr. Mazzara reveals that Ricky has been accepted into Salt Lake City College, thanks to a glowing letter of recommendation from Ms. Jen. The stipulation is ensuring that he gets all A's for the rest of the year. With Gina by his side, he knows he can able to make him a study legend, as she should. However, at the same moment, she gets a call that's about to change her life. And that call changed her life. It did change her life. And it changed my life. And I'm not even Gina. Okay, so that was episode 6. We have 2 more episodes to discuss. And then that was the end. And I'm not ready to see this show go, because this show means so much to me. I'm going to talk about that after I discuss the last 2 episodes, and then I'm going to discuss my relationship with High School Musical, period. The music deep inside, and no one can take that away if they try. How could I sleep at night, pretending I'm fine, leaving it all behind when dreams don't die? Wherever I go, it will follow me home, and I don't always know the dreams don't die, so I take them for granted. When you could be all taking chances, oh, I will give all I got, no matter the odds, cause it's all that I want, and dreams don't die. Now it's time for episode 7. Okay. It's called The Nights of Nights. It's showtime. There is a bit of a fast forward and the generous donation from Allison Reed. HSM 3 is being put on at East High, yet the show is still taking place in the gym as the auditorium is being used by Quinn to announce her new adaptation of Romeo and Juliet starring Mac and Gina. The day of the show, Ricky heads to Gina's house. Miss Porter catches him in the act, and the rudeness comes out. She says she's been waiting for him to step up since the Porter family doesn't like to wait. But Ricky gagged Miss Porter, and she asked her
if she'll show up for her daughter and watch her perform. Now, Miss Porter, she was not there to watch all three of Jesus' performances. When she was in High School Musical, she wasn't there. When she was in Beauty and the Beast, she wasn't there. When she was in Frozen, she wasn't there. Now, I get her job is that she has to go to all these places. Why are you telling somebody else that they have to show up when you never show up? I mean, that was a read from Ricky, and I'm here for it. Ricky knows the time has arrived to tell Gina he loves her, but of course, he needs to find the right way to express his feelings. Meanwhile, Gina is anxiously awaiting to hear the words. Since her life has been thrown into a tizzy with the movie, he wants to show he cares, while she wants to feel confident with Ricky going forward. And their feelings are valid, period. And I love that pretty much things that happened in season one is happening in this scene. So Ricky takes over the opening night car tradition as Nene's in LA. Maddox delivers the place's call, and Ricky tells Miss Jen that he loves her, which is not the ILY, but more of the more meaningful one. Now, this was a rather big episode, so let's break down and see what happens with all the characters. Courtney has been accepted into Princeton and Lewis, unfortunately finding out in the middle of the show. Luckily, her selection stress does not ruin her performance, as she slays as Sharpay, slaying I Want It All with Carlos. All this occurs as Jet finally starts flirting with Courtney. Now, since we finally made it, let's have a chat about Jetney. Okay, I love Jetney. I do. But they came out of nowhere. And I get they met in season 3 at summer camp. I get that. But they didn't have no scenes together in season 3. And I'm confused. But again, I'm here for it. And I'm glad they're a couple. And they do become a couple in this season finale, which I'm excited. Carlos surprises Seb with a Christmas present of flights to every major city on the Real Housewives franchise. Is Carlos loved it? Canon? I'm living? Seb looks awkward when receiving the large gift, later revealing he cannot travel with Carlos as he's not out to his dad. And Carlos dropped the obvious, you play Sharpay. What is there to get? But Seb says he wants to come on his own terms. And apparently his own terms is running out of the end of the musical number to kiss Carlos and give his dad direct eye contact. And he seems okay with it. Sure, why not slay? And also, Dewey is back. Why is he in this season? I don't know. But he comes to hand deliver Ashton the gift, seemingly is from Maddox. However, Antoine returns to flirt with Ashlyn at the same time. As Maddox looks over, finally ready to reveal her love for Ashlyn, Ashlyn is cuddling with Big Red in hopes Antoine will leave. From afar, it looks like Maddox missed her opportunity. Adding the stress, her ex Madison sent balloons, and Maddox has a small freak out and she ends up breaking the sound system, which is never a good thing to happen before Act 2. Gina is having to figure out a way to give Ricky the big news that she's going to be in Romeo and Juliet. But before she can, she's pulled to a sound check for the press conference. As Ricky rushes to tell Gina the big three words during intermission, Miss Porter instead drops the movie deal bomb on Ricky in the most disrespectful, rude way imaginable. If I didn't say this once, I want to say I hate Miss Porter. She does too much. Like, stay in your own. This wasn't your thing to drop on Ricky. It was Gina's. Get a life. Go to your son, who is not in this season. I mean, I guess because he is in LA with Nene. Anyways, how's she doing, actually? I wish we had some mention of Nene in this season, sadly. Also, Miss Jin got an offer to be in the Wicked Tour, which is funny because the person who plays Miss Jin was actually in Wicked on Broadway as Glinda. And Danny is there. Cool. And also, I'm obsessed with people constantly walking backstage for intense conversations during East High. It's like all so casual. Like, people aren't performing on stage. Like, I love how silly fun this show is. And the next episode is the season finale. And I'm not okay. But we have to do it. We have to discuss it. Now it's time for episode 8, the season finale. The episode is titled Born to be Brave. Synopsis: the Wildcats wrestle with huge choices. As Courtney makes a big decision about college, every core relationship is questioned. And Ricky and Gina fight big feelings on their way to a big finish. It's endgame. As it should be. The season finale is more important topic at hand. As four seasons and countless musical interludes, it's time to say goodbye to East High yet again. I'm just as emotional as I was when I watched High School Musical for the first time when I loved it. The end of an era. Let's dive in into the final episode. Okay, so it starts with Ricky starts Act 2 by immediately giving Gina his support by giving her a journey to New Zealand. He knows trying to keep people close to him for selfish reasons never work out, so he puts his entire heart into letting her go. However, Gina wishes he put up more of a fight. The back and forth of teen love. It never ends. With Mr. Mazzara having to manually work the sound system for Act 2, EJ goes in for Coach Bolton. Period. He finally gets one last show at East High, and even under this old age makeup, you can tell he's grateful beyond belief. The Maddox and Ashlyn debacle comes to a beautiful head when Jet forces Maddox to read the card from Gifted Balloons. They weren't intended for Maddox at all, but rather Ashlyn. Madison can tell she's fallen in love for Ashlyn and wants to help start the pair off on the right foot. Ashlyn delivers her Camp Shallow Lake gift to Maddox, a train trunk with their names carved on the inside. Their feelings are mutual, and thank the Lord they were kissing, and officially a thing. We love a good hallway kiss, period. Ricky is overwhelmed by Gina leaving, obviously, which leads to the HSM production marrying real life. Walk Away and Scream are not only given the airtime by it Disney deserves, but they are dripping with revelance for Ricky and Gina. But let's be real, Scream slaps. But the show ends, the cast is savoring its moment together on a big family. As they head back to rehearsal rooms for time to reflect, Ricky's kicks off the emotional speech train. He's crying over his love for everyone and his appreciation for the comic club. It's a beautiful and meaningful moment. Gina then enters, looking like a million bucks, before the press conference and opens up her heart to everyone. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all because when I first watched it, I cried. But then I was like, this can't be scripted because, one, it's too emotional. And of course, you're saying, well, this TV has to be emotional. But two, if you see how this camera, like, in this, like, shot is going, you know that this wasn't scripted, which I love at least. So the conference and opens up her heart to everyone. It doesn't feel scripted in the slightest. The feelings are genuine. The emotions are valid. And the love as for her East High classmates and teachers are immense. As the love comes to a close, Gina heads back to the press conference without Ricky being able to say, I love you. Ricky knows he needs to buck up, so he grabs his guitar and books it to the auditorium and his castmates by his side. He delivers a most beautiful song that had me in shambles is called I'm in Love, and it made me cry. So Gina, and here's the shocking. So Gina, prior to his song, announced to the press that Quinn has agreed to move production to Salt Lake City to ensure she can still have the East High experience with her friends. But that's a lie. And it's glorious. But Quinn said it makes big moves. But I'm not positive that she meant this big. Luckily, she's turning into a softie and happy to see Gina even more ready for this adventure into stardom. Ricky and Gina now are bonded and in love, period. However, a limo is waiting to take Gina to the airport. Why waste a perfectly good and free limo? But the group decides to take the free ride where every musical theater class goes after a show, Denny's. So that was also like a callback to the end of season one when Ricky says that he doesn't know what to do after he closes the show. And Nene says on the line of, they go to Denny's. But also in this same scene, they sing Born to be Brave. And again, this is not scripted. This is the cast singing, not their characters, which I love. Oh, I'm literally not going to cry, but I feel like I am. But now and that was the season finale. And now I want to talk about why I love High School Musical, musical series, and why I'm going to miss this show, and when I started watching it, and why I love High School Musical, the franchise, period. So I guess I should talk about why I love High School Musical, musical series so much. If that's what you're wondering, is why do you love this series so much? Well, when it came out, I was a freshman in high school. And before I even went to high school, a lot of things were happening in my life. Mostly only me and like some stuff that happening with me that I have never told anybody. So, you know, when High School Musical, the musical series came out, that gave me happiness. That was something I could, you know, escape to watching the show. So when Disney Plus came out, because episode one aired on Disney Channel and all the Disney-owned channels, like ABC Family, Lifetime, and Disney XD. So when Disney Plus came out, I watched it. Then I watched a new episode every Friday. And if I couldn't watch every Friday, I watched every Saturday. So I watched season one. Gosh, I fell in love with it. I learned all the songs. So when season two came out. No, when season two was announced, their announcement was they sung Beauty and the Beast in front of a piano. I love that. That was their show for that season, was Beauty and the Beast. And then everybody started doing their like fan casting of the show and see what's going to play what. So I seen some people say, oh, Seb is going to play Belle since he played Sharpay season one. Now, I knew that Seb wasn't going to play Belle, but I wanted him to play Belle, so I was sad. But Ashlyn got Belle, which as she should, because Ashlyn deserved happiness. Season one, I loved Ashlyn season one, but she concerned me. So when she became Belle, she said, period. And she slayed it too. And then season three came out. And then after season three, the finale of season three, we didn't hear nothing from Tim until a couple months later. And Tim was like, hey, there's going to be a season four, but it's going to be the last season. So this is going to be the finale season. One, I cried. I was like, I don't want this show to end. So then during the drought, I got introduced something called a fandom. And you're like, what is a fandom? Well, a fandom is where a group of people on social media or outside of social media is in this one group and they're loving the same show. So when I was on Twitter, I got introduced to like the Fan of High School Musical, the musical series. Now, as me already loved the show, I was like, okay. So I joined the fandom account and I saw all these fan accounts for the show. I saw one for Rena. I saw one just for Josh. I saw one just for Sophia. I was like, oh, I want to make a fan account. So my Twitter is now a Rena fan account, as it should be, because I'll always be Rena. And yeah, I've never been a part of a fandom. I've been a fan of a show, but I've never been in the fandom. So getting introduced to the High School Musical musical series fandom have gave me lots of joy. And they're still posting, and I'm still posting on my Twitter. If you want to like join the fandom, like, I'll leave a link in the show notes. And yeah. So I don't know what my next episode would be, but hopefully it'll be something good. I'll see you later. Bye. All together.